hour number four. We are 60 minutes out from the amazing, intriguing, informative, heartthrob Owen Schroyer that all the ladies love. So he is coming up today. It is funny to go out in public with Owen. It's like pretty funny. It's still good to see the women have their instincts intact. And the ladies like me as well, but it's like a little more so with Owen. So it's good to have the competition around here. I mean, I'm a father, married guy, and all that. I'm just saying. It's fun to see the ladies get excited, isn't it? It's all the good things in life. It's how we repopulate the world. All right, getting serious here. I got other news I'm going to hit on and things here and there that's really important I haven't hit, but let's go back to your phone calls. Wayne in Virginia, you're on the air worldwide. Go ahead, Wayne.
Alex, it's a pleasure and an honor, brother.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, I want to tell you first that I believe those stacks, I've watched you doodle on those over the years, and I thought often that you could probably auction those off at the end of the week on X or maybe on...
You know, that's a great idea. My little doodles, we should sell those. We need to raise money.
Those mustaches. I've loved them and thought, I guarantee you people would also. They'd frame them, you know.
What's on your mind, brother?
Delay. I'll go Alex Jones on you, you know. You've heard of the Deagle Report. First of all, I was going to tell you, Biden drove this, like you said, I've heard you, into the ground. And if it wasn't for Trump in this last little while really reeling us in from the edge, we'd be in big trouble right now if Kamala was at the tiller, right?
We'd absolutely.
And that's why Powell is happy to keep it going in the same direction. That's what his bosses, I believe, want. Right?
Yes.
And you remember George Green in 2006, he said that they would kick it all off right there, this way, in Israel. I've heard you say that Israel was bought by the Rothschilds for Israel, right?
Yes.
To start the NWO in this fashion. And you and Kirk Elliott were just talking about these guys don't want to eat steaks and play golf. They don't. We're dealing with super satanic forces here. Look at little Madison Cawthorn. The young guy was invited to, a big cocaine party. We saw three or four of the leaders just enjoying their little coke round table recently.
Yeah, these are degenerates. Like, all of us that are normal never get sick of a ribeye, never get sick of a sunset, never get sick of playing with our kids in the pool, never get sick of praying, never get, it all just gets better, but never get, you know, we're just happy and like ourselves and like other people, and we're blinded by the fact that we're inherently overall good, we're still sinners and fallen, to think other people are like us. And as you get older, you learn, no, there's a lot of people that inherently like to do nasty, bad things. And in government and in high-level corporations, it's admitted the highest level of psychotics is in corporations at the leadership level.
The higher you go in government, the more the possibility that they are absolutely satanic. I mean, look at how quiet they all were when Trump was facing 700 years in jail. We didn't see him out there daily with press conferences like you and I would have been if there would have been dozens of Marjorie Taylor Greens.
Great points. Yeah, you have to understand evil's real, folks. The devil's
and like you said, you can't hide in a fence post hole from the drones, even if you're out.
You can't do it. Thank you, brother. Thanks for the call. Everybody wants to talk about Israel. We'll be right back. I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexshowstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Yeah, Israel under Netanyahu's tutelage is so out of control. Ultra-Christian Zionists like Huckabee, the U.S. ambassador to Israel, is saying it's terror attacks on Christians, blowing up, burning up their churches, their houses, needs to stop. 2 weeks ago, now they've come out again. I mean, when you got Huckabee telling Israel, knock it off, and I don't mean everybody over there, but you know what I mean, you got a problem. And again, I'm not like, ooh, everybody's turning against Israel. This is, I'm sitting here. I threw out a bunch of topics to call in about. You know, Trump, Epstein, Crossfire Hurricane, treason charges Obama, a new impeachment to strip him of his immunity. And nobody's calling in about it. I said, and you can talk about Israel if you want. And this, and it's every caller. Well, there's one caller, Cameron, is on Russiagate and Obama, which I just, and again, I'm talking about it, and I don't want to be in the position of having to harp on Israel. Not because I want to cover up for Israel, but also because I don't have a hard on for Israel. But because we were all brought up and taught to support Israel, I mean, at least I, you know, most people in America were. And then we sit there and see Israel involved in all of our internal politics and things. And we see Israel following rules we don't have, you know, where Israel can have laws against non-Jews marrying Jews. And then we have the Israel lobby constantly lecturing us how we're bad because we're white or whatever. People are just sick of it. And I would just, I would tell Israel, reform yourself, get rid of Netanyahu, and go with the Trump-Saudi Arabia plan to flood money into Gaza and kick out the radicals, which can be done. Israel propped up Hamas and turned the place into a damn resort, just like Trump went to North Korea and Kim Jong-un cried and said, China won't let us do it. I mean, South Korea per square mile is the wealthiest people in the world per capita. North Korea is the most poor. And Trump wouldn't explain to him. And Kim Jong-un goes, I know that. I'm not allowed to do that. This is a system I got. It's what we do. And China won't let us. And I want prosperity for everybody. And Islam is a cancer. I don't want it here. You see it. The left loves it because it's anti-Western. You've got weird leftist Jews, you know, and others that are anti-Christian. So they fetishize Islam. I mean, it's like, let me give a newsflash to Jews in general, in case some of you don't know. I know most of you do. Christians aren't your problem. There's almost 2 billion Muslims, and almost all of them want to slit your throat. And you're like, well, that's good. See, support us murdering them all. You're not. You kill hundreds of thousands of them, and you energize the whole thing. Give them golf courses, you dumbasses. Oh, boy, give them ribeye steaks and give them golf courses. We have to stop the war. We have nuclear and biological weapons. We are not cavemen anymore. It's got to stop. All right, that's my 2 cents. Let's go to Jay in New Hampshire. No, excuse me. No, Jay in New Jersey. Jay, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Alex. First, about the Trump report card, I would give him, on a scale of 1 to 10, an 8. But I really would want to give him higher if we have to see government people being arrested, in my view. I don't see how the country can ever come back from the lawlessness that took place under Comey, McCabe, you know, Brennan, Clapper, Obama, and Garland.
And I totally agree. That's the number one issue is indictments, because their people are already still through the government and have a feeling of being above the law, no accountability, and feeling invincible. They must be arrested. That's how you exorcise the demon. The cancer must be removed.
Yeah.
And Obama funding the whole Arab Spring and overthrowing our allies.
Yeah, and if they aren't arrested, then, you know, the next Democrat president will take it even further because he sees that he won't be accountable to the law. And I believe that from Comey to Garland and everyone in between, they all have to rot in prison for the rest of their lives to, you know, for what they did. The next person that's in power won't repeat the
that's
same.
That's right. There,
you know,
must be accountability. There must be justice. This is existential threat. And if there aren't indictments of big, high-level figures, it's open and shut. Long before the midterms, we're going to lose the House and Senate, and Trump knows what that means. It must happen. That's why he's demanding it. So what do we do to make sure it happens? Because I'm told the Justice Department's been given the marching orders. You find the crime, you do it. And I'm told they're planning it. Well, it can't be quick enough. Let's not hesitate here.
Yeah, well, I just, you know, I have such low confidence that something like that will ever happen to see these government people go to prison. It hasn't gone anywhere close to there so far. So, you know, I'm hoping, but I'm not getting my hopes that high, because if you look at what Pam Bondi's been doing so far, it's just underwhelming. I haven't really seen any, you know, any movement in that direction.
No, instead they set him up with bad Epstein advice. And here's the deal. The Uniparty wants to keep stealing and robbing. And so they don't want to burn any of their people because it might create domino effects because they all got dirt on each other. The deep state wants austerity to collapse the country in World War III. That's a far greater danger. And I'm talking to their logic. And so it has to happen, brother. Thanks for the call. All right, Douglas in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Alex Jones, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to start off, you know, I called in for Trump's report card, and I also want to give an Alex Jones report card with a triple A plus, man. I've been a listener since 2020. You really opened my eyes, changed my life. I can see how you touch a lot of people's lives in our communities up here in Sherman, Denison, Texas. And, man, I can't say enough about just what you're doing and your team and everybody there at InfoWars. Thank you.
Well, let me thank you for keeping us on the air, Douglas. We're nothing without the listeners and viewers and your support and your word of mouth. So thank you, Douglas.
Well, thank you. All right. So today for Trump's report card, I'm same as the last caller. You know, I'm really looking at this, and I think that if it weren't for you, we would be losing more ground with our base. I mean, you've really been on point with this. Do not shoot yourself in the foot. This is a critical moment. And I'm really glad to see that your wisdom is being able to filter through and help people see what they cannot see when they're so busy and they've got it clouded up on their desk. I really, really am grateful.
Well, you got my promise on this, Douglas. I say what I really believe is the best answer and the truth. I literally sometimes for hours just sit and just focus on topics that I'm not sure of till I get the answer. I don't say what I want to believe. I say what the best evidence says. And that's all God working through us, so thank you. But, yeah, people can know. When you tune in here, you're getting exactly what I really think. Unfiltered, absolute, what I believe is the truth. Now, as the Bible tells us, we all see through rose-colored darklies. We all are distorted. Only God has true clarity. But with me, you and you can hear the listeners are the same, and our guests, you're getting sincerity, brother.
Awesome. And if I could leave you with one question, and I know this is something that you don't cover as much, and it may be because there's not much to worry about, but I, as a Texan, I'm really struggling looking at the way that Dustin Burroughs has sort of taken over everything. Everything's been managed by the left. I'm really struggling with what am I going to do here when we come up to the midterms. So if I could ask one thing, it would be please continue to shine the light on our own home state. Make sure that our listeners here, that we're getting some of the information so that we can together make a great choice this year.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree. I got to jump because I want to answer your question. I have dropped the ball on covering Texas politics. I follow it some, and it's so horrible and so traitorous that a lot of times the topics, like I've had this Ghislaine Maxwell, Aleister Crowley stuff for a while. Her whole family, it's Aleister Crowley cult. And I haven't covered it yet. Like, where's that folder I had? Because there's so much more. So I'm not wanting to cover it because I want to cover it up. It's that I want to do real research and it's so big, I don't get to it. But I'm going to do the Aleister Crowley stuff tomorrow. In fact, make me do that, Thomas. It was Thomas pointed out extra stuff to me. And it's the same thing, Texas. That would take hours. And Glenn Beck's network's been doing a good job covering that. But, I mean, again, I don't even want to get started. The Republicans gave co-leadership to the Democrats on the committees. They are sabotaging Ken Paxton because they want to keep stealing, and they want to, it's bad. And so Florida has basically has problems, but it's the example. It's got its act together. And I would love for my home state to get its act together, but we got a bunch of corrupt lawyers running it, and there's some good Republicans. And they're obviously better overall than Democrats, but the leadership is a bunch of scum. And the governor sits by while the legislature sabotages our populist conservative agenda. And you know, I don't want to be mean to the governor. I don't want to think he's a bad guy. And he says a lot of good things and does some good things. But at the end of the day, he's a pussy. And I got information a decade ago about Governor Abbott from very good sources, and he's compromised. And that's why we have these problems. And I have to pick my battles. And but Texas has a big problem. But the biggest problem in Texas, because I'm a Texan and I got family all the state, is we've got such a sense of pride that we're the good guys and we're the conservatives and everybody, that we think we're always going to be a red state and we think we got it handled. And Texans, on average, are great people, but a lot of them are in la-la land. And Texans need to get their heads out of their asses. But I could spend all day, every day on the stuff in Texas. I mean, I still look at it. I still study it. And it just goes bad to worse. And and all the big tech money coming in, that's why Musk getting super hardcore patriot. He's been battling all the other big tech's initiatives. I mean, from the Soros DAs to the judges to the that's why I'm like so pro Musk. I get to live here and he is like battling them and no one even knows about it. I mean, hundreds of millions, and everything he does is like good. And then people are just like, oh yeah, Elon Musk, he's whatever. No, I'm on the ground and I see what he's doing. And that's why Trump and them running him off and doing all that, because Susie Wiles didn't like him, is bad move. Because I'm on the ground. I'm in the weeds. Go ahead, Sean in California. Israel, divide and conquer. Go ahead.
Hello, sir. Alex Jones.
Welcome.
For the last over 20 years, I've been listening to you since I was in college. And I began my cloning research and eugenics and genetics research. And I found you. The only one telling me the truth all these years. I keep tuning in and buying your products because I want to get healthy. And the products work, people. I got to tell you. The methylene blue is the best one yet. I got a couple bottles. I take it, but I didn't want to talk about that.
No, thanks for thank you. You're the reason we're on the air, Sean. You remind me to take some methylene blue. Thank you, brother.
You tell the truth. You go ahead.
So you were doing cloning research in college, researching cloning, and let me guess, you tune in here and find, and like, cloning's way more advanced. People know, right? And you hear me talking about it.
Yes, it is. They've probably cloned humans in China.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
And the cloning organs, and there's a lot more that people don't know. It's all the way down to the genetic level. They're trying to manipulate us through our food.
Well, let's be clear, Sean. They've been cloning humans at the embryonic level for 30, 40 years we know of, and then they terminate them before birth. But no, there are clones walking the earth.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, I don't want to think about it because I know the possibility of that is very real, and it probably is. It's hard to think about this stuff because it makes me want to puke. All the evil that they're doing to us, and I've seen it firsthand.
Well, what's on your mind on Israel and divide and conquer?
Yeah, they divide and conquer us. And the Cloward and Piven strategy is alive and well. And our governor, our mayor here, I work in politics in California. I dislike it, but I did get the marijuana law passed. I'm proud of that work.
Well, brother, it's good to hear from you. God bless you. All right, let's go to Cameron in Michigan on another subject that I really wanted to talk about, but people love talking about Israel, and that's Obama and Russiagate, where that's going. Go ahead, Cameron.
Hey, Alex, how's it going?
Good, go ahead.
Good. You know, with Obama and Russia, you know, it's crazy. You got, you know, Obama covering up all these files and the Obama DOJ just putting Trump's name in there. One of my worries I have with this is, what if Pam Bondi, who, again, did a terrible job with the Epstein files, how are we going to make sure that she knows, you know, that she does the right things to get these people prosecuted? Because these people need to be prosecuted.
Yeah, because their minions are still in the government.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
I mean, it's like you find a rattlesnake in your bed, and then you just throw it out of the bed and let it slither off in the corner.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to get the rattlesnake. Well, my intel, it's not intel. I've been told by high-level Justice Department, they've been told, green light, indict their ass. And you see Trump saying it every day, indict, indict, get Obama, get, you know, get him, get him. That, I mean, you know, the question is, will Pam Bondi do her job?
100%. And, you know, Trump, I believe that his second administration has been a lot better in terms of who he's appointed, but there is definitely still those holes. And, you know, again, also Congress, they're another big part of it. I think, what, they have a 13% approval rating.
Oh, yeah, and you've had Congress, Speaker Johnson and Senate Leader Thune trying to block recess appointments.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible.
It's ridiculous. And by the way, I don't want to go completely off topic, but I've been watching you since I was 11, and I'm turning 19 tomorrow. So I said, I'm like, you know, got to give him a call. He's doing calls right now.
Well, happy birthday, Cameron. We appreciate you. Chris in California, then Digital Soldier. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, brother. Go ahead.
I'll plug your X2 because I haven't heard people plug that in a while, and I just took it with my methylene blue, and it is an awesome combination. I'll say that right now.
Yeah, they go together, the mitochondria and energy. It's you can't hype it. You can't overhype it enough. I mean, if listeners just knew what X2 and methylene blue do together, I literally during the last break. I got X2 and methylene blue in this glass of water right here. If they knew what it did to your life and your stamina, energy, libido, everybody would be on it. We'd be 24 hours a day with the funding. We'd have reporters all over the world. But people would say, you know, 0.1% of everybody, thing of millions of listeners. Like, yeah, right. It's not, you know, everything else is a scam. I'm not going to listen to him. All right. That's their loss.
Oh, yes, it is, because I see all the electricity. I feel the jolt. Like, I get all the effects.
Well, that's
like,
because it creates the proper electrochemical activity in the cell. The reason you actually feel electricity when you take it, most people, is because it is literal electrochemical electricity intensifying in your body. I mean, it's not like a stimulant that turns up the cell's activity, but makes it tired. It cleans it, makes it healthier, while you get more original core electrical energy. Methylene blew my finger right there. I mean, it's so unbelievable. And then I'd take it, and my doctor said, get on it 6-7 years ago, and I bought the USP. He said, and I barely felt it. My wife likes this. We had 5 or 6 brands. Ours, it's true. Just try somebody else's, try ours. Ours is way stronger.
Yeah, it's fun.
So you're a Catholic, it says, on Palestine and Trump. So what's your take?
Oh, I'll say I live in California, so I'm happy with Trump with a lot of the ICE raids and everything. I know I wear my USA shirt. I get frowns. I don't really care. But I think he's doing good. He might not. A lot of people get upset because I think he does the swerve. Like, he can't just hit it. We can't just do things point blank. So he has to swerve, and he does a little bit here, a little bit there. But overall, I mean, like everybody says, last 6 months, who could really say that he's doing a bad job?
I mean, it's night and day compared to the Democrats. So I'm going to ask Nick Fuentes that tonight. Okay, you can do better here and there, but would you rather Kamala in? Thanks for the call. By the way, I don't really plug InfoWarsStore.com because it's almost sold out of everything. They're trying to shut us down. You order it, you get it. We got a hearing the 13th. We're probably going to win. Pray. But X2 is still available there. It's almost sold out. We have fish oil back in stock, the very highest quality, 25% off, InfoWarsStore.com. And it's critical you do that. But I mean, we are so to the wall. And we've survived so much, people think that's hype. We shut down. People are going to flip out. But I've not backed down. I've not pulled punches. I'm 110% trying to stay on air here. But I've built backups. And you're the only reason we're still here, folks. So thank you for the support. All right, let's go to Digital Soldier. Here's our tell gutter before I come back with this incredible economic news and historical news. Digital Soldier, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. It's Top Gun's Digital Soldier. I'm calling from Cali. How's it going, Alex? My first time calling. I wanted to talk about Obama, the whole post that Trump just did on Truth. And my question with that is, what does it look like after he's indicted, if he's indicted, if Pam Bondi actually does her job and him and the rest of his minions are indicted and they're actually put through trial and they're actually arrested?
Yeah, that's a great question. They got to have an impeachment of Obama to strip him of presidential immunity. But as for others, it's going to be a firestorm. The deep state's going to go crazy. They have all these high-powered lawyers. But it will create so much confidence in the population. The stock market will explode. Trump's approval will explode. His candidates will all start winning even more. And a bunch of their minions will turn state's evidence and panic and run because they never believed there would be any justice or accountability. It will be spectacularly positive, but they might set off a nuke and say Iran did it or do a false flag. So it's also very dangerous.
Yeah, I was thinking they would start sending out BLM and Antifa to, you know, the cities and all that stuff, you know, to cause, civil unrest.
100% like they're going to try to launch civil war, but nobody's going to buy it. They already tried with the No Kings thing. Yeah, no, that's their default. John Podesta plan. That's what they're going to do, yeah.
Yes, sir. All right, cool. Yeah, that answered my question.
Digital Soldier from California. We appreciate you calling. All right, I'm going to come back and introduce this with this famous historian who's dead on about what the central banks are doing, the real history of World War I, World War II. You don't want to miss this information with Tucker Carlson. Coming up, share that live feed. Real Talk Show's now. I need support. We are maxed out, and I could do so much more in offense, guaranteed beat them even faster in court, and got this other stuff going on. I'll leave it at that with the Justice Department, the good guys coming in, and the task force on weaponization, that I need funds. So I need you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, subscribe as your monthly donation for $30 a month as a VIP, and know you're doing that bare minimum of support, cancel any time. Not a very hard commitment. You just do it month to month. You charge $30, you're a VIP, and when you want a t-shirt or you want a supplement, you get it because it'll just build up in your account. $40 to spend in the store. You spend 30, you get 40 automatic discounts on everything, special sales, special offers. I'm asking everyone to commit who's never supported the broadcast by buying anything to become a VIP today at thealexjonesstore.com. And then you know you're doing the monthly support. Ever have an issue, don't want to do it, cancel. One click, it's your profile. But by being a VIP, you get massive discounts, special offers, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And it's a way to show your support. We need your backing. I am 100% dauntless. If anything, I get overheated because I've got so much energy and I'm so angry at these people and it bleeds off into my life. I need your backing. I'm backing you. Quite frankly, if you don't back me and my crew, what we're doing, you're nuts. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying you're crazy. Evil hates this transmission. We've got their number. And if you don't back the organizations fighting with everything they've got for you, because we're all in this together, well, you've rolled over. You've run up the white flag, quite frankly. And that's what this is. People ask, man, thanks for fighting. Thanks for never giving up. Wow, why does it break your spirit? It intensifies my spirit. to know we're up against pure evil and we're turning the tide and we're winning, and then to know that if we don't fight hard, they're going to win and commit humanity to a nightmare of evil? You think stuff's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. Thank me for fighting for my own future and yours collectively? There's not even a question of fighting these people. Look at them. They've got to be opposed. People tend to think being persecuted is oh, you want to stay away from that. Oh, so you want to stay away from the fight? No, it's like John Paul Jones said when he got commissioned as the head of the U.S. Navy, right when it was starting, and he was writing to Continental Congress. He said, I only want the fastest ships. I only want to be sent into the main war zones in direct action. They said, here, it's our fastest ship. Go out. He immediately goes out and engages and takes over all these British ships 2-3 times the size, just ramming straight into them. Well, that's what I want to do. I only want the fastest ships. I want to go directly into action. I want to go 24 hours a day. I want reporters all over the country. I want to be 50 times stronger against the enemy. I want 50 times the audience. I want victory. You think what we've done to the enemy's been effective so far? It's nothing. I have not yet begun to fight. So support yourself. Support us. Do it. Or be conscious that you didn't fight when the time was right. You hesitated. You took this as another entertainment venue, to some other show. Just more talk. This ain't talk. This is the targeting coordinates to take down the enemy. This is the Death Star plans. This is Sting, the Goblin Slayer. They hate this blade. This operation is a sword that is plunged politically, culturally, spiritually into the hearts of our enemies over and over and over again. They hate it. It's a standard of their defeat. It's a symbol of their weakness. That's what we're doing here. This is serious business. So I'm coming to you, asking you to continue to commission us in this fight. We've already delivered you more victories against the enemy than any other media operation in the world. And I'm asking you again, for all of our collective futures, to come to our aid now more and take your fight to the 110% level. Tell the truth. Be accurate. Stand against evil. Have courage. Until it's not even having courage, it's what you are.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Tonight, 8 p.m. Central, Real Alex Jones on X, Infowars.com/show. At any station you want to pick it up, it'll be on the satellite and the network feed. I will debate Nick Fuentes. 8 p.m. I kick off the news. 9 p.m. he comes on. We debate for an hour and a half or so. Look for that tonight and share the link. You are the Paul Revere's. All right. So when I saw this interview this morning, it's 2.5 hours long. I watched about an hour of it. It was just all dead on history and reminded me this is stuff I've covered a lot in the past that we need to get back into. So world-renowned economist and historian Richard Werner, on where money comes from, banks just create it out of thin air and keep a pile for themselves and then socially control society and governments with it. And the first clip I want to play, and I'm going to play some excerpts here, was the head of the German Central Bank and the American Federal Reserve were won by two brothers in World War I. That's the Warburgs. And it's the same thing with World War II. And it's the same thing today. The same shareholders have the EU central bank that gets interest rate cuts, but we don't over here. The Federal Reserve is part of that same combine. And I noticed like a third of the comments were calling him anti-Semitic. They didn't point out that the Warburgs were Jewish or Rothschild bankers. But that's what Anthony Sutton in the Frank Church Committee hearings and the U.S. Senate secret records, but it what was about the private banks funding both sides. And nobody even pointed out that some of the central bank heads were Jewish. The media does that. Here's Tucker Carlson saying banks are funding both sides of wars. That's wrong. And then getting into central bank digital currencies and how the banks do this. And the attack is he's anti-Semitic. See, it's people using that to call people anti-Semitic that supercharges all of this. We're just trying to talk about the Federal Reserve and what it's doing currently and the history of it. And then people, Jew. And people are like, okay, why'd you do that? And at the end of the day, the ADL and others know what they're doing. Because the more people then attack Jews, the more they get funds to protect the Jews. It's just incredible because I don't want to put, I wasn't, when I first saw this morning, I wasn't even going to bring that up. I wasn't thinking, oh, Warburgs are Jewish. They'll talk about Jews all day. But then I saw the comments, oh, God, the anti-Semite. This is all historically true. And then the Bushes took over the main bank of the Warburgs, Prescott Bush, Senator Bush, in World War II, and it got a lot of the hidden Nazi money in Argentina and the rest of it. So it's very sick. Like Madeleine Albright's dad was Jewish but helped round up the Jews and rob them for Hitler. And down low, you had Soros doing it. So, you know, it's a very sick historical thing that went on. So here he is on world wars being financed by both sides with the same bankers. Then we'll go into a few key clips that I thought were most important. But the full 2.5-hour interview on the Tucker Carlson Network on X and everywhere else is must watch. Here's some excerpts. And then Owen Schroyer, in 23 minutes, takes over with the War Room. But tonight, 8 p.m. Central, the debate on Trump with Nick Fuentes. So join me and share the link. But here is the historian and economist, Tucker Carlson.
The central bank of the United States, the Fed, was created during right before the war. What was the role of the central banks during that war?
From 1917, the U.S. and Germany were at war, and their economies, organized as war economies, at the pinnacle of the war economies are the central banks. So who were the key players in the German central bank, the Reichsbank, which was 100% privately owned? It was somebody called Max Warburg, or Max Warburg, you might say in English. And who was at the pinnacle, in fact, was a founder of the Federal Reserve, and who was the key person there? Paul Warburg, his brother. But of course, the soldiers have to kill each other, and these two countries are
at war. Wait. The head of the German Central Bank and the head of the American Central Bank were run by brothers during a war between the U.S. and Germany?
Yes. Now, what Professor Sachs and Peter Boone were arguing was that, you see, how if you're a Japanese landowner, you own this super expensive real estate, and now you figure out it's probably better if I buy half of California, let's say.
Which they did.
So let's do it. They were arguing, well, they would have to sell the land. Now, who's going to buy Japanese land? And it was true that foreigners were not buying Japanese land. It was totally overpriced. No foreigner would buy Japanese land. So only other Japanese would buy it. But that means the money stays in Japan. And that means there's no link. So that was their argument, you see. But I realized that's not how it works, because I'd spoken to a lot of practitioners. That's not how it works. And the solution is, and it's the solution to many other puzzles in economics, to essentially almost all the big puzzles, and there's many in macroeconomics. Macroeconomics has not been successful for 200 years.
I've noticed.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a failure for 200 years, no progress. And that's actually official. There's a study in the, what's it called? Journal of Economic Perspectives, which is, you know, it's quite a highly ranked journal, in 2019 by two Stanford University professors about progress in economics, and they mention that, oh, sadly, we haven't had any progress in macroeconomics for at least a century, okay? And why is that? So the solution to all this and why economics has made no progress is bank credit. Now, bank credit, and actually you should say fully bank credit creation. This is a concept that's been a taboo or a secret in economics. Banking had been frozen out of economics for a long time. There's no banks in economic models and theories. And that's, of course, also why they don't work. Because in reality, if you ask some ordinary people in the business district of any town, they will tell you, you know, what's important in the economy. They will mention banks.
Yes.
But ask an economist, an academic research economist, and they will not mention banks.
Well, ask any person, who do you owe money to? The bank. Some
exactly.
Version of a bank.
Exactly. Yes. Well, the reason is that the economists follow this theory that banks are just financial intermediaries. They just, you know, gather deposits here, do their analysis, credit analysis, you know, risk assessment and all that. And then they allocate the funds and invest, okay?
Right, they just take a percentage. They're a pass-through.
So they're intermediaries.
Yes.
But that's wrong. That's not what they are. It's one theory of banking, and it's still the one that's still dominant. All the textbooks and the leading journals, they still use that. But actually, if you look into it, you realize there's three theories of banking. A second theory, slightly older, that was dominant until the 1960s, so-called fractional reserve theory. And you may have heard this fractional reserve banking. What is that? Well, this theory says, and this part is similar, each bank is a financial intermediary. It just collects deposits and then does the analysis, lends out the money. But in aggregate, as banks interact, there's money creation. Oh, and that's where students' ears should have pricked up, money creation. They even talk about a money multiplier. What? That's the second theory. Now, there's a third theory. And that one had been made out to be a wacky conspiracy theory.
Oh.
But it is the one that was more or less quite widely known until about a century ago. And that's the credit creation theory of banking. And this one says banks are not financial intermediaries. Banks are special. They have a unique power that no other player in the economy has, and that is the power to create money. And actually, that theory had been called all sorts of names like, oh, this is kooky people and, you know, cranks. Keynes said in his general theory, or it was the Treatise on Money, you know, these are the cranks who talk about this banks creating money.
I think the average person believes the ability to create money is reserved for governments alone.
That's absolutely correct. In fact, I did a survey with my students in Frankfurt in 2011. My audience was getting larger when I was teaching at Goethe University Frankfurt. It was only sort of for a few years substitute professor, optional courses. So the first one was only 50 students, but next one was already 150. In the end, it was 450. Everyone was there, also from politics and law. And so I thought, oh, this is a great audience. Listen, guys, let's use these numbers. Let's do a survey. So I sent them out, you know, because if you've got so many people, then if everyone does 10 questionnaires, you know, you're talking big numbers. So we did a survey of central Frankfurt. And one of the questions asked was just this question. Who do you think creates and allocates the majority of the money supply in the economy? And to make it easier, here's multiple choice answers. The government, the central bank, the financial markets, the banks, and so on. You know, give a few options or savings, you know, people through their savings, you know, which is another economic theory. So, and the answer was, just as you said, and, you know, you spoke the facts, 84% responded either the government or the central bank are the ones that create and allocate the majority of the money supply. Because that's common sense. You know, it's something very important that clearly affects everything and everyone. It should be in the hands of the government. It's what people feel. But it's not true. That's not how it works. And so what is the answer? Well, of these three theories of banking, which one is correct? Well, what's the scientific thing to do? It's to do an empirical test. That's what a scientist would do. But it turns out I was the first to do an empirical test of the three theories of banking.
Empiricism and economics? I didn't know that happened.
Exactly.
You ran experiments and replicated them? I thought that was...
Exactly.
Here's a depressing but true statistic. Nearly half of American adults say they would suffer financial hardship within 6 months if they lost their primary income earner. That's a telling sign that people are living on the edge. Many of them, the economy's fragile. That's true for millions and millions of people. What do you do about it? Well, life insurance is one of the best ways to protect yourself from potential hardship. We recommend Policy Genius to get it. Policy Genius's plans offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It feels complex to buy life insurance. They make it really easy. They help you compare.
The replication is debated, whether you can always replicate it. But certainly you can test. You can do tests. And we can certainly control for certain things. And that's what I did. And I thought it's crazy that, you know, you had for over a century this debate between these two theories, but nobody had actually done the scientific thing. So let's find out. Let's just test with the data and observation which of the theories is in line with the data and which is rejected by the data. Now, to do this, I needed a bank that would cooperate. And my plan was, well, I'm going to take out a bank loan and we're going to watch inside the box, inside the bank's accounting system, their, you know, how are they accounting for this and what transactions are taking place when I take out my loan. You know, the intermediation theory says deposits get lent out. The fractional reserve theory says that the bank needs to have excess reserves at the central bank, and that's then used for the new loan.
Yes.
And the credit creation theory, you know what it says? It says when you get a loan, no money is transferred to your, it's transferred away from anywhere else, and you just credited new money out of nothing that is not transferred away anywhere inside or outside the bank, which seems, you know, quite sort of extreme.
Like magic.
In fact, one uses, the convention is to use Latin for this. The money is created ex nihilo, out of nothing. So when it did the empirical test, the conclusion was the financial intermediation theory is rejected and the fractional reserve theory is rejected. Banks create money out of nothing. By the way, you can look it up. It's the most downloaded paper of all Elsevier publications called, and it's open, so, open access, so... Can banks individually create money out of nothing?
Any bank.
Any
not
bank.
Just, to be clear, not just central banks.
Any bank. In fact, that's the whole point. We're talking about normal banks. With central banks, it wouldn't be a surprise.
But the Bank of Omaha can
yes,
just...
any bank creates money. When you take out a loan, the money that you're given as the borrower didn't previously exist. It is net new purchasing power that is being created and added to the money supply. You know, the Fed was created on the pretext, on the main argument, because there's lots of doubters who didn't want the Fed. It's very un-American, was the general view. And they were very sneaky to actually get the Fed and get the law passed. They used some of the rules on how you can schedule a vote, and they went for the most obscure procedure, which is easy to overlook, that there's actually a vote. And the vote was on the 23rd of December, and most congressmen actually weren't even aware, but in any case, they're already gone for Christmas.
Yes.
And so it was just the hardcore group of insiders, and they voted the creation of the Fed. That's how it was done. But in terms of arguments in favor of establishing the Fed, the main argument is the lender of last resort function. And it's true that if you have a fantastic bank, very solid, strong, conservative, is doing well, is helping many small businesses, good bank. If a very convincing, nasty rumor is circulated, and let's say it's effective and people believe the rumor and they just run for their deposits, they all pull out the deposits, that good bank will be in trouble. That is true. Of course, there's policies against that that you could do, but the argument was, well, the best is to have a central bank because they can provide endless liquidity through money printing, which is, you know, internal money, you know, reserves, or if needed, if they want cash, you know, the central bank provides the cash, paper notes, and therefore this good bank will not go bust. And that is sort of convincing. But when it came to that, beginning of the Great Depression, what did the Fed do? It let more than 10,000 banks go bust. In the nastiest way, these were banks that were small, lending to local businesses, to the farmers in particular, and they let them go bust. Now, in the 1920s, there was mechanization of agriculture, you know, tractors and so on. So there's expensive equipment, and the banks were giving the loans, the farmers were taking the loans. Now, these banks were bust. Well, they were taken over and by big banks. Bigger banks and banks that were part of the Fed cartel. But to lose 10,000 banks is just such a setback for the economy. Unbelievable. Now you'd think, oh, good for the farmers, you know, at least they're out of these loans. No. Number one, when the banks went bust, there was no deposit insurance. These families, these farmers, these small businesses, they all lost and their personal savings. All that money they had in the bank was gone. That wasn't refunded. Okay. Number two, you'd think that they'd be off the hook from their loans. No. The banks were then taken over, bought cheaply, and they still had to repay the loans. But they had nothing left, and they were destitute.
Wait, you lose your deposit but keep your debt?
Yes. That's
how does that work?
That's a Federal Reserve policy. Of course, the Fed could have done it very differently and
where
certainly saved
President
those banks.
Where was Roosevelt in this, the man of the people?
Well, The banking systems, once you set up a central bank that's not controlled by the people, then, you know, you're in the hands of the central bank. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York is 100% privately owned, and that is really the center where all the decisions are made. you have the Washington board of the Fed, but you know that's a political shop. The actual central bank operations are all in New York, 100% privately owned. You know, so and that you know what happened in the 1930s is therefore these farmers became destitute. The land was the collateral for the loans they couldn't repay. They lost their land. They lost their livelihoods. Some lucky ones became day laborer on the farms that they previously owned. The unlucky ones starved. There was starvation in the United States of America of honest farmers. And it's really such a, I mean, read The Grapes of Wrath by John Steinbeck. You know, these are better descriptions of economic reality than the economics textbooks where they tell you banks are financially intermediaries. So we don't need to talk about banks. that's for sure. So the central banks, when push comes to shove, they pursue the agenda of concentrating the banking system and reducing the number of banks, which increases the power of the central banks. But we were talking about this, the three theories of credit creation. And so conclusion there was, I did the empirical test. Banks create money. They are therefore the most powerful economic player in the system because they're special. They have a license to print money. And the majority of the money supply is created by banks. But it was only in Japanese. So one day I got a call from a Reuters journalist. From Reuters, this name, British guy on the phone apparently. And he mentions my book. Oh, so I thought, oh, that's impressive because it's all in Japanese. And usually, you know, the foreign journalists, they don't speak Japanese. So I was quite curious. So, and I expected, you know, he wants to interview me on the book. And then he said, oh, no, it's, no, sorry. It's about your book, but it's a personal matter. Really? Personal matter? Yes, I'm calling. It's a private matter. I want you to help my wife. Right. Well, I'm confused. Can you explain? Well, you see, her job is to translate your book. Well, hang on. This book has been translated. It's a great translation. I helped with it. The publisher, we sat together. We, you know, we're really wordsmithing every sentence to make sure it's got the right nuance. I wrote it in English, yes, but it's a very good translation. What do you mean her job is to translate my book? Yes, her job is to translate it back into English. She's given a very tight deadline. And, you know, if you give us the manuscript, the original English, then she's done with her job. Excuse me, what? You know, I own all the language rights. I've sent it to some American publishers. I'm still waiting for the result. This is like a pirated translation. I'm sorry. I mean, I'd love to help you and your wife, but I can't do this against my own interests.
Yeah, right.
You know? So I had to decline. Now, he did say where she worked, and it was one of the major, I don't want to say it, I don't want them to get in trouble, even though it's 24 years ago, but it was one of the major places in Japan that are more considered official, where you'd also think, well, hang on, why do they need to read this in English? Because the Japanese people are quite happy. If something is in Japanese, they will only read the Japanese. You know, you've got a choice. Nobody will say, okay, I'll read the English. So it was clear there's somebody outside Japan who wants to read this, but who could use one of the major, what's considered government institutions as a translation bureau. Well, the puzzle was solved a few months later when somebody came to visit me from America, from Washington, head of one of the think tanks and economists. I'd met him before. He knows me. Well, you know, he's doing Japan. He wanted to, a lot of people came through to see me on Japan and asked me on my analysis. And so, you know, we met and first thing he says, Richard, great book you wrote on Japan, Princes of the Yen. Well, hang on, you don't read Japanese. No, of course not. No, I don't. But, you know, the translation is circulating in Washington. and then, you know, a few months later, I got the call from the U.S. Embassy. It was, you know, clearly a Japanese lady working there, very polite, as you'd expect. Professor Werner, we have a request from the U.S. State Department. It's like... Okay. There's a senior person from the State Department who wants to arrange a meeting with you. Well, I guess that's in Washington. I have no plans to go to Washington at the moment. Sorry. No, he's coming to Tokyo to see you. So I thought, okay, let's meet in a public place as opposed to a dark alley. And sure enough, when we met, the main message was, you know, the CIA is watching you. That was the message. That was the main message. It's like there's no quizzing or trying to manipulate me or get me out. You know, it's just the CIA is watching now what you're doing.
They weren't trying to learn from you. They were trying to tell you something.
No. Actually, somebody suggested when I told them the story that also was my opportunity to ask for something. Like, you know, be president of one of the Federal Reserve banks in the U.S. as part of the deal to stop talking about credit creation. Actually, it reminds me, I need to finish another story I started, you know. I told you about Keynes moving away from the truth.
Pause and savor this for a moment. So you publish this book in Japan, in Japanese, explaining the Japanese recession, and within a few months you get a visit from the CIA.
Yeah. Well, I'd spilled the beans on what is the most powerful mechanism for both economic growth and prosperity, or arranging for the boom-bust cycles. And of course, this is something that's been happening across the globe in the last 200 years quite a lot. And I was mentioning names. And I did, okay, I need to tell you to finish that before we come back to to Ben Bernanke and colleagues. After that visit, all the U.S. publishers sent back their polite letters turning down my book. I mean, imagine, this is a book that was the number one bestseller in Japan. It did have a chapter in it on the U.S. There was a link. I had a chapter on Asia, the Asian crisis, same story. And I had a chapter on my encounter with Alan Greenspan. And based on that encounter and some analysis, I concluded, and that was in that chapter, that actually the Federal Reserve is...
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting, in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule, it should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. And it's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.